From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
While the trial of U.S. President Donald Trump went on in the Senate over Democratic Party allegations that he withheld military aid to Ukraine illegally and committed acts that amounted to an abuse of power, the testimony of a number of former Ukrainian officials has come to light, showing that not only was there corruption involving Burisma, the natural gas firm tied to the former vice president and Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden, but that it went all the way to the top, that former Ukrainian President Petro Poroshenko was directly involved in the corruption, and that Hunter Biden's job at the gas company Burisma was a bribe to his father as U.S. vice president. Today we bring you some of those interviews, part of the third installment of a documentary series entitled Ukrainegate, Inconvenient Facts, produced by French investigative journalist Olivier Bourrier, who also maintains the popular anti-corruption and economics blog, L'Éclaircisse. Hunter Biden, according to the interviews, was hired, quote, solely to pressure Ukrainian authorities into stopping the criminal investigations into Burisma, closed quote. That from former Deputy Prosecutor General Renat Kuzmin. Those investigations had raised the possibility that Biden's compensation was an effective bribe being channeled to his father, who handled Ukraine policy for the Obama administration. When Biden demanded the firing of head prosecutor Viktor Shokin, as he later boasted on camera, Poroshenko was happy to oblige, even if he had to bribe some members of the Rada, Ukraine's parliament, to make it happen, according to the interviews. The following interviews are excerpted from Ukrainegate, Inconvenient Facts, by the French investigative journalist Olivier Bourrier, who opens the piece here.
Hello, we are pleased to come back to you with our third video in our investigation on Ukrainegate. Today we are going to show you the exclusive interviews that we have secured and which confirm our analysis. Thus you will be able to understand all the ins and outs of the scandal. So was Prosecutor General Shokin really investigating Burisma, or was the investigation dormant? We asked this question to several witnesses, and here are their replies. We talked to the former diplomat Andriy Terezenko, who worked in the Prosecutor General's office and in the Ukrainian embassy in Washington.
Do you confirm that the investigations on Burisma were not dormant under Shokin?
No, it was actually more and more persuasive under Shokin. There was even they raided the house of Luchevsky a month or two before Shokin got fired. They actually seized his house in Ukraine and his assets in Ukraine 2 months before Shokin got fired. So the case was actually pushing into a harder phase before Shokin left. But there's the company itself was formed on the money of the government money of Ukraine when Mr. Luchevsky was the Minister of Ecology. So that's what people of Ukraine need to understand, and in the world, we need to investigate what is the company and how it was formed by itself, not just what it's doing right now.
So the investigations by Prosecutor General Shokin into Burisma were anything but dormant. Why then is the owner of Burisma still a free man? How did the former minister of Yanukovych, Mykola Zlochevsky, escape justice? To find out, we asked Daria Kalinyuk, head of the Anti-Corruption Action Center in Ukraine.
In your opinion, was Mr. Zlochevsky a corrupted person when he was minister of Yanukovych?
Obviously, there was no minister which could not be corrupt. Yanukovych gave posts of ministers only to people loyal to him and people who were accepting corrupt practices. And Mr. Zlochevsky was issuing licenses to extract oil and gas to companies which he controlled. So it was obvious abuse of power and conflict of interest. And this is the way how Burisma initially obtained the assets which it is now managing. Mr. Zlochevsky was not put in jail after the Revolution of Dignity because there was no willingness of Prosecutor General office to investigate his corruption. I believe there was no will because Mr. Zlochevsky found a way to convince the senior leadership of Ukraine, including President Poroshenko, to close cases and criminal investigations against him in exchange for certain favors. So Unfortunately, close associates of Yanukovych, they found a way to negotiate with new authorities in Ukraine after the Revolution of Dignity, their impunity. Basically, prosecutor generals were doing everything possible to help Zlochevsky avoid responsibility for his wrongdoings.
Did you notice pressures to stop investigations against Zlochevsky's company, Burisma, and from who?
So when we spoke with the U.S. Embassy in Kiev at that time, it was a strange reaction. It was 50-50. Some of them pushed us for the investigation, and some people from State Department did push it for to go on with the investigation to get a result. And some people were basically playing as neutral as Ambassador Pyde. When we would ask what should we do, he would play a neutral role, not concretely answer what should we get involved in, how we should proceed with the case, because we're talking, look, there's the son of the vice president on the board of the member, Hunter Biden.
And why did they want to protect Burisma? Have you understood it, or have you been told?
Nobody told us concretely, but we understand that It was the first case of Burisma out of the three where we were doing the London prosecutions to get them $23 million back to Ukraine, and we were not told directly, but we understood because of the son of the vice president Hunter Biden was on board of the Burisma company and David Archer, but Hunter Biden was the main role, and some people from the prosecutor's office were afraid to they didn't lose their visas if they're going to prosecute the company where the son of the vice president is.
We finish with David Sagvarelidze, former Deputy Prosecutor General of Ukraine for the period 2015-2016, who was publicly supported by the American Ambassador Geoffrey Payette.
We applaud the work of the newly established Inspector General's Office in the PGO, led by David Sagvarelidze. Their investigations into corruption within the PGO have delivered important arrests and have sent the signal that those who abuse their official positions as prosecutors will be investigated and themselves prosecuted.
You became famous quickly because in March 2015, you were in television and you talk about Mr. Zlochevsky. And what was your vision at this time?
My vision has not changed since that time. Zlochevsky was a former corrupted minister during Yanukovych. Which fled because of the corruption issues and risks of getting arrest for his corruption activities. Of course, he was very rich because he earned a lot and he stole a lot of money. I think that these kind of cases involving Burisma case and the others were a classical example how they used to press on any kind of business, especially including corruption business, in order to engage into some corruption dialogue and make a deal, corruption deal. This is how usually happens. They open up the case, they block its activities, and then that's where the negotiation usually starts.
So all our witnesses confirm that it was not under Shokin, but his predecessor prosecutor Vitaly Yarema, that Zlochevsky's assets escaped justice. And it was not Shokin, but his successor, Yuri Rutsenko, who closed down all the investigations against Burisma without any serious justification. To know more, we talked to the former Ukrainian Member of Parliament and controversial personality, Oleksandr Onyshenko. For those who do not know who he is, this is how David Sakvarlidze described this repentant of corruption.
What do you think of Mr. Onyshenko?
Onyshenko, I think that is one of the first whistleblowers inside of the corrupted oligarchical system who actually managed and dared to record the president and take it to public. I mean, of course, he's not an angel, but he does not admit that he doesn't claim that he's an angel. But he was the one who actually dared to publicly to print and to give to publicity to the audio tapes that he gave.
Hello, could you speak us about Burisma and Mr. Zlochevsky?
No, Zlochevsky I know very long time because we're in the same business and gas producer in Ukraine. He created a company Burisma. invests in one of the biggest in Ukraine, private company which produces some gas. Yes, actually, he was a member of parliament. He was close to President Yanukovych, and he was like a good person who could finance of the party of Yanukovych. So that's why he got this title of Minister of Ecology. So he had all the possibility to get the best places for the gas producing and the best license for this time.
Because when he was minister, he had given a license to his own companies?
Yes, that was like corruption. That was, he got this criminal case when Poroshenko became president. So that's what I said, when he was a minister, he got the best license and the best property for the producing gas for his own company.
But for you it's not chance, so for you it's a kind of corruption?
Yeah, of course, if you're in this kind of title, minister, and you're giving the best license for your own company, of course it's corruption, yeah.
Is it possible for him to survive the revolution of 2014?
Yeah, after the revolution, of course, that Poroshenko, like a really very stingy person, he was looking for the people who has the big business, yeah, and of course he wanted to take like some of the part of the cake, yeah, you know, so he was actually gave instruction to the prosecutor, was that time Yarema, to block all the biggest company, like he blocked a company from Akhmetov. Naftogaz Vodobuvannya, it was the number one company which producing gas. And then he also blocked Burisma as well, and he did criminal case against Zluchevsky. Yeah. But then the right hand of Poroshenko was negotiate with Zluchevsky, and the agreement that Zluchevsky paying 1 million every month, it was in the gas for the companies and factories of Poroshenko. So they give him value 1 million natural gas every month. So that was agreement. He had the criminal case, but they was not blocking his company.
Okay, but yeah. For you it's true, it's a true accusation.
Yeah, of course, you can check this in the Ukrainian Naftogaz. You can see the company of Zluchevsky, they giving natural gas to all the companies of Poroshenko. Yeah. All the factories. Yeah.
But so what's interesting is what was the reaction of Zluchevsky to survive?
Yeah, he was of course not happy because he wanted to close the case. And the Poroshenko was happy to get every month this amount of money from him. Yeah. So in 2015, I met Zluchevsky, end of 2015, I met Zluchevsky in Dubai, and he proposed me to talk to Poroshenko, to propose him like about 50 million at the time to close his...
Of dollar?
Yeah, to close that criminal case against him and his company. Because he said, I'm tired to pay every month 1 million, but nothing happened, you know, and the company is still under investigation. We have to close these things. It was exactly after New Year that he even gave me a private plane, then I fly from Dubai to talk to Poroshenko. And I met Poroshenko and I explained him the story and I told him everything what I proposed him. Actually, that time I record this speech, then we spoke with Poroshenko, because just in case that Zluchevsky will not trust me or something. Yeah. Actually, this conversation I put also in my book here. Yeah, and we did also in the channel News One the extra program for this, about this conversation, me and Poroshenko, about the Zluchevsky, Burisma, and etc.
On the tape, Onyshenko was heard telling then-President Poroshenko that he had met with Zluchevsky, who wanted to ask Poroshenko to, quote, solve the problem globally, closed quote. In other words, to end the criminal investigations altogether. Poroshenko says, quote, all right, tell me what he's offering, closed quote. Onyshenko replies that he's offering a 50-50 share in several energy companies, along with the particulars of the companies. He also talks about favorable tax and rental treatment that these companies get because of joint venture agreements with Shell and ExxonMobil. Poroshenko says Zluchevsky is a, quote, good guy, closed quote, adding, quote, I'll think about what can be done. The Americans have been getting angry about him lately, closed quote. Onyshenko replies, quote, in theory, they shouldn't do anything against him because Biden's son is on the board, so Westerners won't step on our toes when I talk to Zlochevsky, closed quote. Poroshenko repeats that he will see what can be done and sends greetings to Zlochevsky.
We asked several of our witnesses what they thought of the authenticity of these recordings. Here are their replies.
For you, the record of Poroshenko made by Mr. Onyshenko is true?
The voice is very similar to Poroshenko because I have talked to him a couple of times. And the voice was very similar, and I'm sure that it was his voice because what was said on the tapes, actually, it actually eventually happened.
What have you thought when you have heard the Onyshenko record of Poroshenko talking with the good guy?
I think that this conversation probably had happened. And Poroshenko saying that Kolya is a good guy is actually a message which clearly reflects how Poroshenko was operating his office as a president of Ukraine. Simply, you know, finding a way to control corruption and to benefit from corruption and preventing real reforms from happening.
In our conversation, the Poroshenko told me he cannot now doing everything himself, because the American is dead, he means that Biden sons. So, and then Zlochevsky choose this direction to put son of Biden in the board of the company, and also ex-president of Poland, Aleksander Kwasniewski. So to be protected and to survive in this time, because that criminal case that was in Ukraine could be destroyed his company and the business. Yeah. So, the Poroshenko told me, yeah, I can help, but he must agree also with the American. Yeah, but American, the time already saw it like to get some black cash for the election. So that's why they understood they could good and collect some money from Burisma, and also. The Biden was in Ukraine, talked to President Poroshenko, and they give him 6 hours to change prosecutor. The time was ex-prosecutor Shokin, which was investigated Burisma, and he find out that Burisma paid not 50,000 like salary like the son of the Biden in Spain. He found about 3.6 million transfer of money from Burisma and the companies to the company of Hunter Biden.
Have you talked of this with Poroshenko?
Yes, I talked with him. Yeah, and he told me clear that Biden has interest for the company Burisma, and they will close the case. They tried to get money, both of them. The first was American, Biden, and second was Poroshenko. So in the end, he paid both of them, yeah.
He paid for Poroshenko 50 million or more?
I don't know if he paid this amount, but it was this proposal of...
What's your opinion, that you know Poroshenko?
I believe he paid because after that everything happened, the journalist in investigation, they found in Vienna, Zlochevsky, together with the right of hand of Poroshenko Kononenko. It was one restaurant. They took a picture with him, and it was everywhere in the press. After this meeting, like I think 1 month later, the criminal case was closed. That prosecutor Lutsenko came out to the press conference. He said, yeah, we check everything in Burisma. There is no criminal. The company is very good, and they paid tax and everything okay. So there is no more criminal case against Burisma. Yeah.
But it's not true.
Not true, yeah, not true, because now they open this case again, yeah. So the time was to get the money, that was close, and it was before election in US. There was everything like plan to close and to use Burisma for the money for the Poroshenko and also for US. But then in the end, they opened criminal case again, but now because they understood they was closing case in the not right way, yeah. They just used them, yeah.
In your opinion, why Slushevsky have hired the son of Joe Biden?
No, that he was needed just the name, yeah. So the Biden is not has no experience with gas. He doesn't know anything about the gas. But his name, of course, it should support. That's why he did all this conference and then public and Monte Carlo energy conference, just to show Poroshenko and then from the European side that he has in the board this kind of people, and told him, you see, I have these people in the board, so you're not allowed to do something stupid with my company, like a block and take it out, so that he was scared about this. That's why he was spending this money to get a kind of a powerful person in the board of the company. And that's why it was the job of the son of the Biden to do everything to protect the company. Yeah? That's why he's getting money for this. So they did actually everything perfect. Yeah. And Luchevsky survived, the company was working, and actually they're making crazy money with this company. Yeah.
For you, it was in order to stop the action against him and against Burisma in Ukraine?
Yes, yes, was exactly.
So like it's this. A kind of corruption too, no?
I see this exactly like deep corruption, yeah.
Shokin says he wanted to make investigation on Burisma. Do you think it's true?
Yes, he did. That's why he found some payments, and he was searching deep in the kind of Burisma, because actually the Poroshenko was interested to find something against Burisma. So and the Shokin was that he had already yes from Poroshenko to check everything. For sure he got some improvement of criminal things of Burisma. And also in the payment and transfer, and etc. That's why when Biden came to Ukraine and talked to Poroshenko, that he pushed him with $1 billion of supporting the money from US, and they say, yeah, I give you 6 hours. If you don't get this prosecutor out, you don't change him, so you will not get this $1 billion. Poroshenko tried to talk to him and say, you know, but his President Obama promised me, but he said, okay, call him, you will see, you will never get this money. Yeah. So actually, this case now Shokin has in European court, yeah.
But how was the smear campaign against Shokin perceived inside the prosecutor's office? To find out, we asked former staff member Andriy Telizenko.
Were you surprised by the international campaigns to remove Shokin?
As soon as we came to the office and the Burisma case, we started to push the Burisma case in London to be prosecuted and to return the $23 million back to Ukraine. We started to get protests almost every day from the prosecutor's office. The protesters were there almost every day for a couple of hours and then they would leave. And we understood that they were getting paid. Look, they didn't talk about any other agency. They did not talk about any other ministry, how corrupt it was. They only talked about how corrupt is the prosecutor's office, which at that time already, we gave away most of our powers because the U.S. Embassy and the U.S. government pressured us to give away and reform the prosecutor's office. So basically, it was total nonsense. It was total disaster. It was on social media, on the streets, in front of the prosecutor's office, every day until Shokin got fired. As soon as Shokin gets fired, the protests end. Nothing continues. They had a narrative just to go against us.
And so, for you, there was a big difference in the protestations for Shokin and for Lutsenko.
Yeah, there was no protest under Lutsenko. There was maybe one protest a month for a couple of hours and then for something else. You can see that it's a narrative. And then when they change the prosecutor, there's nothing. It was just an agenda to smear the prosecutor's office and smear Shokin and smear everybody else.
How many people came protesting every day for the Shokin dismiss?
Up to 100 people every day they would protest. Okay. And there's an equivalent to US dollars, they would get paid $5 to $10 a day, which is like just standing and doing nothing, it'd be okay. They would protest and they'd leave. So it's like a work.
So Whether it is a question of direct interference by Joe Biden or the huge smear campaign in Ukraine, very considerable resources were applied to get rid of Prosecutor Shokin. In previous episodes, we have seen the extent to which the man who replaced Shokin, Prosecutor Yuri Lutsenko, was contaminated by serious accusations of corruption. However, we have succeeded in getting more information about this prosecutor, whose appointment so pleased Joe Biden.
Who is Lutsenko, this new procureur?
Yeah, Lutsenko is the from family Poroshenko. Like, the guy that was always with Poroshenko. When Yushchenko was president, then Poroshenko put Lutsenko out to minister of intern. So he was always next to Poroshenko and did everything for him. Yeah.
But when Joe Biden say, "I want a new prosecutor," the new prosecutor made jail, and it's close to Poroshenko, and he closed all the case against Boris.
Yes.
It's a story.
Yeah, that's the story, yeah.
It's an incredible story.
Yeah. Unbelievable. That some stories that happened in Ukraine is unbelievable. Yeah.
So there is no more doubt that Yuri Lutsenko was a far more corrupt prosecutor than Viktor Shokin. Why then did Joe Biden insist on the departure of Shokin? And why justify it by his ineffectiveness in dealing with corruption and then replace him with someone much worse?
Joe Biden now say, "I wanted Shokin out because he was not enough efficient against corruption." What do you think?
It's not true, yeah. They had, special interest because the Shokin was too much involved with the Burisma and he found too much, yeah. And to close the case against Burisma, they was needed some prosecutor, and they put some prosecutor who could organize, which was Lutsenko. And exactly when Lutsenko was start to work prosecutor in May, in September already he was close the case. Yeah. So he did it in 3 months, which is impossible, yeah. Because case was since 2014, was 2 years, and then in 3 months he find out that everything clear, there is no criminal anymore.
Why those people wanted the Shokin be fired?
Because Shokin did his work. He said, look, he said to the Americans, to the Europeans and the Canadians, he said, "We understand you have an agenda to help us. We're ready to cooperate and work with you, but we will not follow your orders on what to do and how to investigate, how to do our job. You already caused enough trouble in reforming our agencies, which we lost all our powers. We're going to still continue our job with what we have already, and please don't tell us what to do. I will investigate any case I want. Because if there's corruption, corruption has no name." That's what Shokin said.
Corruption is a cancer. Cancer of corruption. And the cancer of corruption...
Corruption is a cancer.
Cancer of corruption.
Or the cancer of corruption.
The cancer of corruption.
The cancer of corruption.
Corruption is a cancer.
It sounds great to hear Joe Biden condemn the cancer of corruption here and there and everywhere, but it would be better if he were not the origin of the metastasis. More generally, it is not logical to claim to be fighting corruption in Ukraine by just asking for the replacement of Shokin, supposedly the number one problem of the country, a few months after his appointment. If you have a corrupt prosecutor general, you have a prosecutor general problem. But if you have 3 prosecutors general, one after the other, who are problematic, you have a president problem. And several of our witnesses have confirmed it.
Why? Poroshenko never put a good person in the head of prosecutor office?
I think Poroshenko didn't believe that prosecutor general office can be free from political control. Therefore, he wanted to control himself what investigations to open, what investigations to close. Mr. Poroshenko decided that he is not willing to get rid of this very corrupt agency. He wanted to head corruption himself, unfortunately.
Oh, is it possible that after Maidan, we have 3 different prosecutors that are not good prosecutors? Why Mr. Poroshenko has appointed those persons?
Because Poroshenko himself, he was not honestly willing to change something in the country. He looked at the prosecutor's office as an escort service of his political career and his wealth.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.